We heard at the beginning of the Mass that today is both Indigenous Peoples Sunday and the day for the alleviation of extreme poverty. These are two categories of people, often overlapping categories. People are brothers and sisters who are poor, often the poorest of the poor, and it's fitting that we have deep concern for these two groups of people. And in fact, this is deep in the heart of the Church, to care for those who are exploited, those who are deprived, the poorest of the poor. To take care not only of their material welfare, but also their spiritual welfare, which is much more important. And this comes out, this fact that there are some things even more important than material things, it comes out in today's gospel, which focuses on a rich man who approaches Jesus with a question about how to inherit eternal life. Usually we think that to be very poor is to be very sad, miserable. And to be very rich is to be happy, maybe even very happy. That just seems to make sense to us. I mean, who would want to suffer extreme poverty? And who would not want an abundance of money? However, a strange thing happens in the course of this rich man's conversation with Jesus. Well, we don't know how happy he is at the beginning. Clearly, he's not supremely happy. He senses that he must do something more. There's something missing in his life. He has some kind of sense of that. That's why he approaches Jesus in the first place. He approaches him humbly and kneels down before him. So we don't know if he's unhappy, but by the end of the conversation, he's certainly not happy. This is what the gospel says. At that statement of Jesus, his face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Namanglaw ang lalaki ng marinig ito at malungkot na umalis sapagkat siya'y napakayaman. He had many possessions, napakayaman siya, pero he was sad. Usually we don't think those two things go together, but that's exactly what this man experienced, and we can hope that that experience will teach the rich man a very basic lesson. That is, that being rich is not a guarantee of happiness. Being rich is not a guarantee of happiness. So we don't place our hopes on being rich. Well, being materially poor is not a guarantee of happiness either. Sometimes people, when they hear this story, they think that the rich man's unhappiness or his sadness is Jesus' fault. That Jesus was too harsh with him. He was too demanding, making him give away everything. He told the man to go and sell his possessions and give the proceeds to the poor. And so the people who interpret it this way say, well, it's as if Jesus was deliberately depriving this man of happiness. No, that's not what Jesus was doing at all. Jesus was setting him free so that he could be truly happy. Don't forget, there's more to what Jesus said than simply go and sell your possessions. It starts out with Jesus looking at him with love. This is what it says. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." See, there's much more here than simply the demand to go and sell what you have, give it away. The rich man, though, this poor rich man, heard only the hard part. He heard only the giving away part of Jesus' counsel. He missed the good part. He missed the part about being loved by God. He didn't see that Jesus was looking at him with love. Somehow that didn't penetrate him. He didn't know that this was a loving thing Jesus was doing, that he would receive. In fact, that the promise of eternal treasure was being offered to him, treasure in heaven, and then the great invitation to come and join Jesus as a disciple. He didn't see any of that, and so he went away sad. This experience is very valuable to us because it's actually very common to us that when we experience God calling us or giving us wisdom, we sometimes don't experience it as a very good thing. Yes, the Word of God is often very consoling, enriching, enlightening, but it's also often very challenging, even frightening. It's certainly true. When we turn to the Word of God, we hope that we will be consoled, but sometimes we won't be. Today's second reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. It says that the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word of God is a sword, a weapon, penetrating even between the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. A sword that penetrates deeply our inner life. What does it mean to penetrate between the soul and the spirit? I don't know. But it's a deep penetration. It's a deep discernment. And this is the very sword that pierces the heart of this rich man. And it's also piercing our hearts as we listen to this gospel. It's a sword that pierces him not with the intention of killing him or harming him or even depriving him, but of cutting him free from his chains. His attachment to his possessions, the very things that he thinks will make him happy, that attachment is preventing him from being happy because it's preventing him from loving. Jesus, when he turns to him, says, "You are lacking one thing." What is he lacking? He's lacking love. He's lacking love. The essential thing. He doesn't have it. And so Jesus shows him the way to love, to make a gift of himself, to go beyond concern for himself and what he has and what he can get. Love is not about getting and keeping and possessing. It's about giving. Give to the poor and give yourself to me, Jesus says. Come follow me. Now, whenever the Lord calls, and he calls each one of us, whenever he calls, he also cuts us. He cuts us with this living sword, his word. If we refuse to listen because we don't like being cut, or if we refuse the invitation, then we will end up sad. No matter how much money or how many possessions we might have. Why? Because the secret of happiness is the Lord himself. So to be separated from the Lord is going to always leave us deeply sad. The secret of happiness is not money, is not possessions or anything else. It's the Lord himself, the will of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. The Old Testament sometimes refers to this secret of happiness by calling it wisdom. Wisdom. And if you listen to today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it lists many good things in life, but then it sets them aside in favor of wisdom. This is what Solomon, the wise man, says. I preferred wisdom to scepter and throne. Scepter and throne, that identifies the temptation to think that power will make us happy. If only I have more power, I will be happy. But no, it won't. It won't make you happy to have scepter and throne. And then he says, I deemed riches nothing in comparison to her. Nothing in comparison to wisdom. Riches, he mentions priceless gems, gold, silver. He says they're nothing. They're nothing by comparison to wisdom. And then he says, beyond health and beauty, I loved her. I loved wisdom. Beauty and health. Health and beauty. Health is a great possession. We all know it, especially when we feel sickness. Or when our loved ones are sick, we say, oh, if only we had the gift of good health. Beauty is a very highly treasured value nowadays. But they're not the secret of happiness. This is the list that the first reading gives us. No, power, pleasure, money, health, beauty. And we think, oh, if we had all of that, then we would be happy. No, we wouldn't. Not necessarily. But if we have wisdom, then we will be happy. Now, the apostles, going back to the gospel, they are shocked at Jesus' words about riches. He says, it's hard for people with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard. It says here, they were exceedingly astonished. Lalong nagtaka ang mga alagad. Bakit? Kasi sabi ni Jesus, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Meaning, it's impossible. You can't get a camel through the eye of a needle. Their reaction, the apostles' reaction, is shock, because they think, as we ourselves often think, that the rich are the ones who have all the advantages. So if the rich can't make it, well, then no one can make it. If this rich man, this one who walked away sad, if this good man who follows all the commandments, if he can't make it, well, who can make it? That's why they're so astonished. And they ask this question, who can be saved? And Jesus' answer gives us another shock. He says, for human beings, it is impossible. For human beings, it is impossible. What? It's impossible? It's impossible to inherit eternal life? It's impossible to get into heaven? Well, why even bother then? But there's more to the answer of Jesus, right? He doesn't stop with the impossibility on our part. He says, for human beings, it is impossible. But not for God. All things are possible for God. Therefore, the secret of happiness, lasting happiness, happiness that is not based on money or on possessions or on anything we can possess or anything we can achieve, the secret of happiness is God. God wants us to be happy even more than we ourselves want to be happy. When we give ourselves to Him, when we follow Him, we find the very purpose for our being here on earth. And we find genuine hope for life forever with God. So don't go away sad. Yes, we have lots of things that cause sadness in our life. But deep down, don't go away sad. Follow Jesus with a joyful heart. I'll leave you as a way of conclusion with the psalm response that we sang a moment ago. It came from Psalm 90. You remember it? Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy. Fill us with your love, not with money, not with all the things that we think are going to make us happy. Fill us with your love, O Lord, and we will sing for joy.